Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Cast Polymer Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Taylor. Today's episode is made possible by the ICPA. Their mission is to enhance the success of member companies and enlighten the market to the value of cast polymer products. One of the greatest advantages to being a member of this industry is connecting with an international network of manufacturers and suppliers. This allows you to gain advice and support for tackling some of the most critical industry challenges and learn new manufacturing techniques to stay ahead of the trends in our market. If you're interested in being a member, I suggest you go over to theicpa.com, or you can reach out to Jennifer Towner. She's the executive director over at 470-219-8139. Also want to mention our other sponsor, Sanco. For 35 years, Sanco has been a leading provider of innovative solutions to the cast polymer industry. Solutions like low resin demand fillers that help customers cut costs significantly every year. They're a family-owned company that's always been on the leading edge of low resin demand and lightweight fillers for many years, and they take a strategic approach to providing products to this industry, an approach which emphasizes solutions to problems. You can find out more about their products, which includes marble resin, solid surface resins, premium gel coats, catalysts, and much, much more by visiting them today over at sancosystems.com. You can give them a call today over at 706-279-3773. Well, today we're going to be talking about creating a fun environment in the workplace, which I think is even more important in times like this that we're in. How to keep the motivation going within your organizations, within your team. You know, really how to keep people motivated. How to keep the morale up during times like this. And that's why I'm so pleased to have Leslie Yerkes, and she is the founder of Catalyst Consulting Group. This is a company that helps companies and organizations turn challenges into opportunities. I know Leslie, a number of her clients are in the manufacturing industry, and she's going to be sharing some of the work that she's done. In addition to the topic we're going to be discussing, she is the co-author of the best-selling book, 301 Ways to Have a Fun or to Have Fun at Work. And then she's also the author of Fun Works, Creating Places Where People Love to Work. Another book called They Just Don't Get It, Changing Resistance into Understanding. And also Beyond Kicks and Carrots, Motivation in the 21st Century. So I'm really pleased to have Leslie joining me today. She's going to be sharing just ways, some ways that we can create an environment, a fun work environment, and also improve morale in our workplace. Leslie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Jonathan, it is just a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you on. We were just talking before the show. You've got some great examples to share with some of the companies that you worked with. But before we get in, I want you to share a little bit about our background. I know you have a number of your clients. You have some background in the manufacturing industry. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your company and some of the background of yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you. I founded Catalyst Consulting Group 34 years this Memorial Day weekend. I celebrate the birth of the business on Memorial Day weekend, and it's always my own little internal joke that when everybody else was having a holiday on that Memorial Day Monday, I was trying to start a business. What a silly and strange way to get going. But that's been my joke for 34 years now, and I'll stick with it. I am a consultant passionately in the field of organizational development and change management. Mm-hmm. I care about the development of leadership and management capabilities, good plans, skills, culture, and systems. It's been a wonderful ride. I've cut my teeth on being a small business owner. That's the best boot camp in the world. Mm-hmm. I am a coach and a facilitator. I've had this opportunity to author 6 books, and I'm on the faculty of Case Western Reserve University. So it's been a good ride, and I feel like I have 10 more good years in me to do this. I got into this field When the field itself was very, very young, mm-hmm. people didn't know what it was. People didn't know what this touchy-feely, hokey-pokey, more soft side of business was.
Sure.
No one had it in their job titles. There were no departments. So I've grown up in it, and it's become, I sort of feel like I've matured as the market has matured, and everybody knows that not just doing the right technical thing is to one's competitive advantage. You've got to do the right relational thing for both your workforce and your customers as well. And so companies, and a third of my companies are manufacturers, sort of embrace the formula I advocate, which is it's equal 50% of your time on the what you do, perfecting that, and 50% of your time on the how you do the what you do. And that's what I'm most curious and passionate about.
Mm. Wow, that's so important. I tell you, you've got, 34 years. That's amazing. Congratulations on that, by the way. You have, I was looking at all the books, and I was reading some. I actually left one out because you got another one that I missed, that I left out, was Bean's Four Principles for Running a Business in Good Times or Bad. That's so appropriate for today.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the common themes I see in so many of your books is on, you know, we mentioned the best-selling book that you've, the first one that I mentioned, 300 mm-hmm. Ways to Have Fun at Work. And a lot of your books are centered on, they're themed around creating a fun work environment. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, first of all, you said, people like, you're a consultant teaching organizations how to have fun. Business isn't supposed to have fun. We're supposed to get stuff done, right?
you got it. And so I quite honestly, not only did the businesses cock their head, but this book came out in the late 1990s when sure. the dot-com industries were growing. Mm-hmm. And to attract a workforce, you needed not just to work hard, you needed to play hard too.
Yeah.
So people were starting to have the conversation, but it was a conversation that wasn't easy to have because most of us who, I'm of the boomer generation, were raised by my parents of World War II.
Right.
My father's mantra was work hard. Mm-hmm. And when you're done, and only if you're deserving, mm-hmm. can you reward yourself with something fun. And I don't know about you, but if I live to that mantra, because I yeah. also have very high standards, thanks to both of my parents, the work is never done. It's never good enough. I would never get the reward. Mm-hmm. And I die in the desert of hard work. And so there's lots of cliches about sure. work and play, which is, you know, Jack and Jill are, if they're all work and no play, they're dull.
Yeah.
So I didn't invent anything. I just discovered that in high performance organizations, and the second book is a case study book on organizations, because I really had to go back into it after the bestseller and go, what does this really mean? Mm-hmm. The destination is not fun. The destination is, as a result of doing the right work well, with a great deal of respect and trust, and allow people to bring the best of their whole work selves to work each day, does some element of fun, meaning, and joyfulness show up? Because we spend more time at work than any other activity in our life,
sure.
and more time with our coworkers than maybe our family. If there's no joy, meaning, satisfaction, or fun, we don't stay. Mm-hmm. And the organization isn't something I call sticky. So fun for me is not an input.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do fun things to make our morale or
right.
our employee satisfaction go up. Fun is an output. Do all the things right. Because if your company isn't producing a good product that your workforce is proud of and done in a safe environment where people are treated with dignity and respect and are learning and growing and being recognized and promoted, you can throw all the ice cream sundaes in the world.
Yeah.
And that won't be fun.
Mm.
So fun is not a quick fix. It's not a panacea. It's not a silver bullet. It's actually when you get everything right, both the what you do, the hard science, and the how you do the what you do, the soft science, the culture of the organization. When you get that right, one of the best symptoms of good health is that it's fun.
Yeah.
When I ask people to tell me stories about great places to work, and some of the times they felt most connected and contributing and had some fun too, they don't tell me easy stories. They tell me of times when it was really tough, when they really had to dig deep, not unlike the times we're in right now. Mm-hmm. But people would like to think that fun is silly or stupid or dumb, when in fact, anybody that's out there listening right now, if you ask them to tell you a story about someone they really, really respect, who both does great work and has a great sense of humor and a fun self, they will be telling you a story about someone with really high emotional intelligence.
Sure.
When you can do the hard work and not take yourself too seriously and make those around you feel comfortable with a bit of a lightness, they will follow you into the fire every single time. Yeah. So my father would say, you know, don't be the class clown, Leslie, because his generation had said this fun stuff, it's fluff. I know better than that anymore.
Yeah.
The person who gets the right balance between doing the serious hard thing well, but not taking themselves too seriously, that's someone to watch.
Yeah. I think it's really difficult, you know, but it's easy for us to look at environments like take Silicon Valley, for example. You know, you look at organizations like Google and some of these other places and you're like, okay, those are places that probably incorporate a lot of fun, probably a lot of hard work and fun. But then you're thinking on the flip side of that, okay, manufacturing is not known to be people don't naturally envision a lot of fun workplaces. Although I will say in my background, you know, in my 16, 17 years, there have been organizations or manufacturing companies that I've gone into, and it usually has a lot to do with the people at the top. And I've known companies where one particular plant manager was a guy that he loved to walk around the plant, talk to people, encourage them. He had, guy was full of energy. And it was actually a boat manufacturing plant. And they were just, I think a lot of people just started like just fed off of his energy because that was all he would do. You'd think the guy never sat in his office at all, but he just loved walking around the plant, talking to people. Hey, what are you doing? What's going on today? Man, that's exciting, you know, and just really took a genuine interest in the people that were a part of his organization, part of the company. He would go out of his way to do all sorts of outings, company outings and things like that, because, I mean, that was like he wanted people to really enjoy working there. But I'm sure there's examples you're going to share on this from companies that you mention in your book and companies that you work with. But unfortunately, it's not usually reflective, or most people don't, it doesn't come to most people's mind when they think of manufacturing.
And yet I would say, because a third of my practice has been with manufacturers, and I've sat on a board of four manufacturing companies in Northeast Ohio, because we have such an abundance of them. I've been affiliated with the organization for over 35 years and on its board for 20 years. So lots of friendships in this. And I want to tell you, I love folks that are in manufacturing because they're generally very straightforward. They're generally very concrete. You get what you see. And quite honestly, this sort of common sense orientation, generally they're the funnest ones I know. So a couple of just quick examples off the top of my head, a client for 35 years now, newly retired, third generation, and his family's rubber fittings was by far the best joke teller I've ever seen in my life.
Sure.
And he was a leader in his company. He was a leader in the industry. He was a leader in our state and ultimately became the mayor of the city that he lived in. He practiced jokes. He broke the ice with jokes all the time. And by the way, I can't tell a joke to save my life. I situationally am I Love Lucy kind of humor. I laugh at myself all the time because I get myself in such pickles, but couldn't give a punchline if I tried. And this gentleman always put people at ease with his breaking the ice. He always had a good joke in his pocket. He was an appreciative of great jokes and remembered them. He always also remembered every person's name he met.
Yeah.
So this simple thing about be human.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, when someone is funny, and self-deprecating humor is really, really good because it says you're human,
sure.
particularly if you're in a position of power, that's something he cultivated.
Yeah.
And it was, he also, by the way, was one of the smartest people in the room and did things tremendously well, but it was always done with light and laughter. And so, it was great at our local, steel company that had been through a lot of trauma, bankrupted twice, redesigned under an investor, mm-hmm. eventually sold and merged. And now Cleveland Works, ArcelorMittal, produces more steel per man hour than any location in the world. And I was their culture coach for about 14 years, proud to say. Mm-hmm. Steel is dangerous. You have to keep your eyes peeled.
Sure.
Safety is the utmost. It's challenging, but it's so important work to our economy. I have made so many friendships because we break bread together.
Yeah.
We know about each other's families. We celebrate milestones. And one of my favorite times of year is when they have their talent show. There are more musicians in a steel plant than you will ever see in your life. Tremendous, tremendous rock bands. We've had them at our parties. They're so good. And I follow them on Facebook, and they're doing so many live concerts right now. But this is what is so cool, which is they do things like celebrate and break bed together and have concerts. But the people in the concerts are the folks coming off the mill floor. Mm. You see the person you work next to
sure.
differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you value them a lot more. One of the secrets of this is it's not about what you do. It's not the doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the games of playing. Fun is a being state. It's who are you bringing to work?
Yeah.
Who are you being? Do you slow down enough to know the person whom you're working with? Do you recognize when it's tough? Do you celebrate when it's great? Do you lift them up? Do you do the simple things? Do you connect as a human being and don't leave that fun self at home?
Yeah. I'm just curious, people in, you know, some companies in our industry, you know, a lot of companies are like this. They're using conferencing platforms. They're having distancing. All of this stuff is taking place. They call it the new norm. I'm almost tired of hearing that, but it's true, you know, so it's, we're having to work a little bit differently and talking to our employees, some of who are working at home, some obviously on the plant floor. How do you create an environment like that? You know, it's a little different. It's a little different than being right there one-on-one and being able to kind of talk to people, kind of, you know, joke with them, have fun with them.
Absolutely.
Have that camaraderie. To me, it's a little different because it's just not the same when you're staring at somebody over a screen.
Well, isn't it nice to know that this doesn't just apply to romance, that it applies to all relationships?
Yes.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
We want to be back together. We know how important this is. So I've spent as much as one day, 8 hours on Zoom calls and found myself exhausted because there's an intensity
mm-hmm.
to having people look at your face and you look at theirs and really, really listen.
Sure.
So a couple of ideas that I wrote down was I have created, believe it or not, a Zoom bingo. Mm. So I send out a 4x4 typical bingo card with nothing written in except the free space. And I send it out to the participants prior to the meeting mm-hmm. that has an agenda. And at the start of the meeting, I have each person populate their own bingo card with a list of possibilities. Believe it or not, I have things like laundry, comfort food, puzzles, need a haircut, showered or bathed today, journaling. So I have this long list.
Sure.
And they get to put it where they want it. And what I say to them is, while we're going through today's agenda for the time we're going to be meeting together, I'm going to populate the agenda with some questions like, if you have a load of laundry running right now and wrote laundry on your bingo card, check that box.
Right.
So they're not knowing what to expect when they write it down. But for me, this sort of living at home, working at home, different people are adapting to it. I try to think of both men and women and all the funny things that could be happening in their house. And I've bought all these gift cards. Mm. So everybody can win. The bingo goes on for the duration of the Zoom call. Call out bingo when you have it. And then I send them a gift card for home food delivery or flowers or chocolates yeah. or ice cream from our favorite place. You have to spice it up. But I want to say that takes a lot of work and effort. But sure. the thing that takes no work and effort that literally people have repeated back to me, I am joining my clients' Zoom calls to be there to support them, coach them, and encourage them. And to a person, they said, until you joined us, we were all work. No one started the call saying, let's check in and see how everybody is. No one started the call with a grabber question like, for what are you grateful? What are you learning about yourself or your family mm-hmm. while social distancing? I always start a meeting with a question that has nothing to do with the agenda at all, but has everything to do with the people that are being convened. I also always end the meeting with checking in with like, what are you taking away?
Sure.
What is the thing you learn most?
Yeah.
What most excites you about what we discussed? In what way can we support you today? What act of kindness did you do? Mm-hmm. And thank you.
Yeah.
To a person, people said, until you started to get involved, no one asked me, and how are you?
Yeah.
And so I want to say you don't have to do games like bingo.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do the simple stuff of being human with other people, Dale Carnegie over 75 years ago wrote a book. He was an industrialist, mm-hmm. How to Win Friends. I'm trying to think of the title, How to Win Friends
and Influence People. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Influence People.
Yep.
It is still a bestseller today.
Absolutely.
And guess what? If you read it, all of the things he recommends are the common sense
yeah.
human touches.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you mention that because it makes me think I had one of the presidents of one of our member companies join me. I think it was last week or the week before. And we were just talking about, you know, the importance of, in our discussion was on leadership and the importance of leaders within organizations to catch people doing things right, catch people doing things, always, you know, try to find way, you know, times where you can catch them doing the things that are awesome and really point those out and reward people. Because I firmly believe that people want recognition a lot of times more than they want reward, like financial reward. I mean, financial reward's nice, but it comes and goes, you know, if it's a bonus or something like that. But people are craving recognition for what they do. And when you
yes.
take the time out to point out something and say, you know what, I just noticed that you did something amazing and I want to bring that to your attention just to say how much we appreciate that.
And I've always wondered why something that doesn't have to take any additional time
yeah.
or cost any money, that we are so scarce in our willing to give sincere, authentic and personal praise, when you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. Our workforce studies tell us every single year that if the compensation is fair and mm-hmm. equitable,
sure.
it is not as important to the individuals as learning,
yeah.
as being given real responsibility and recognized for their contributions. So why do we hold on to this and not take the time?
Sure.
So this is the time. If you want them to care about your company, mm-hmm. about your customers, about quality, about safety, simply show them how much you care
yeah.
about them. This, if ever there was a time in our lives, is the time to lean in
right.
and do a little something extra. They will never, never, never forget
no.
The little things that you did to help their families get through a time that is a collective experience that none of us can avoid.
And you've got some examples. I want you to discuss, because you've got a book called Funworks, where you talk about some companies in it, and you mentioned a number of companies, but I want you to share a couple of them. I know two that stand out to me is Southwest Airlines, Prudential. Can you share some ways they've integrated fun into the normal course of business and show how
anybody that flies Southwest Airlines knows that they just empower their workforce to use their good judgment. Their employee handbook is 15 pages or less, and most of it is FAA requirements. Basically, Herb Kelleher, who started the business, said, if you're leaning in and doing something right for the customer, I'll forgive any rule that you break. I trust you to use your judgment. Right. So they are just encouraged. And you stated before that it does start from the top. Starting from the top, you give it permission.
Yeah.
When we really think about, you know, our father's company and manufacturers of the turn of the century, very hierarchical, force and fear, crack the whip, where there is that culture where those two F's, force and fear, you won't find any fun. No. Fun does not grow in the garden of force and fear. So it starts at the top, and Herb had a great sense of humor, and he just encouraged people to use their own. There is no rule book at Southwest Airlines. They say, do right by the customer, take care of your company, and get everybody home safe. And what's so cool about their culture is that when there is a story that someone has told about something new and or different, that story circulates around Southwest Airlines and its 144 locations and its 44,000 employees almost overnight.
Yeah.
So storytelling reinforces culture. Yeah. And so one, if you want people to think out of the box and bring the best of their whole selves, when you are rewarding people or telling stories about good performance, don't just tell the safety story or the quality story. Tell the story about someone who came up with a solution that was innovative and sort of fun and out of the box. So people know, hey, we're allowed to do that. That goes down here.
Sure. Well, you've got another book I want to mention, because we're actually running short on time, but I want to talk about the one book that you've got, Beyond Kicks and Carrots. Fascinating. And we're going to put a list of the books that you've authored on our webpage. But I want to discuss some ways to motivate and fire up a lot of our workforce. You know, some of them during times like this may have taken a furlough for a short period of time. I know some companies in our industry, they've had to furlough some employees for a short period of time. The problem with that is, you know, they've been home for a period of time. They've enjoyed the time at home, you know, getting paid. Then they have to come back to work, you know, in that situation where it's time, you know, time to get back to business. Hopefully things are cranking back up again. There can be a challenge there, motivating people that are getting people ready to get back into the work environment after they've been off about 2 months. Mm. That can be a little bit of a challenge. What, you know, you mentioned some ways to kind of recharge, fire up people, motivate people. Do you have some suggestions during times like this where, you know, you're trying to get people back into the, into that work mode after being off for a period of time?
Yes. One of the things that I'd sort of like to put a context around my answer is, if you've hired right to begin with, the job of motivating is a lot less difficult.
Very true.
The book Beyond Kicks and Carrots, what it does is it blows up the myth that managers can motivate another person. They really can't. If a person doesn't come with their own lit fire, I can't light a fire in someone if they don't have initiative or motivation.
Right.
I can fan the flames of that fire, and I can also do things by using force and fear and other unkind things to extinguish that fire. But if they weren't motivated to begin with, quite honestly, this is
when another problem.
Not enough money in the world. So the context around the answer, Jonathan, is If you hired right to begin with, and you didn't just hire for technical abilities, but hired for character and for values and for some of the soft skills and cultural alignment that I've talked about, these people want to come back to work. They want to contribute. They want to add value. So what one of the fun things you can do is, as you bring your workforce back, why not, you know, think of people who have these fantasy lives, thinking they wanted to always be on the football team and run through the aisle of applause out onto the field because they were the winning team. Why don't you line up all of your managers 6 feet apart in their masks as your first shift folks come in on their first day and give them a standing ovation with a big sign that says, we love you, we miss you, we need you, and we've got to, you know, America's waiting for our parts. On the first day, treat them to lunch. You know, have, and we can't put buffets out anymore, but have boxed lunches. One of my clients, all of his workforce is at home, and I said, please, I've never seen people work harder. They've adjusted. They've learned how to be virtual. Present to every employee's home. And I said, they're a bank. So I said, do you have a customer that sells something that all of our employees would like so you could support that local small business? Well, guess what? It was a popcorn company.
Right.
So we sent, you know, flavored popcorn, plain popcorn in these beautiful cans to every employee with a thank you note. And this week, what went out to them is, they are up over last year by all performance measures. And I said, better get that in a letter and get it out to them because they need to know that the company's doing well.
Yeah.
And it's because of them, and say thank you. Success breeds success. Keep them informed. Tell them you care. Thank them for being there. And by the way, ask for their help. Good employees are trying to lean in and saying, what can I do?
Sure.
Before we got online, I told you about a young man that I met 15 years ago who's now a plant manager, started his career operating a piece of machinery. I saw him just recently again and realized what a great leader he'd grown into. He is doing the most remarkable work and leadership under these conditions that I had to write a piece about him. So one day, one of the things he told me was they were down some people. They did not have enough people and the orders are actually up. So what did this plant manager do? He got out there on the floor and operated a press.
Wow.
His other manager said to him, you know, that doesn't look very good. You're a manager. And he said, I don't understand that comment, but I think this is exactly the right thing that you do in times like this. So other managers sort of said, wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that kind of work. And he had to go against them when, in fact, to a person in the plant, they knew Miguel was on a press. And they all walked up to him and said, hey, we can run those parts. And he said, I know you can, but you need me today.
Right.
He noticed from that day going forward, everybody stepped it up one notch.
Oh, sure.
Do the right thing.
Yeah.
Show that you care. Do what they can do. Be in the trenches.
Right.
Be human. Hold their hands. He sent a guy home that needed to go home who was scared to death and really didn't want to be at work. And he said, it's okay. Go home. You're covered. They will never forget that. The loyalty goes up when you do the right thing.
I love military history. And that just, you know, I think of some of the, you know, in terms of management, you think about like the some of the great generals that we've had throughout our history and some of the ones that I've read about or the ones that had the most respect from their soldiers are the ones that weren't afraid to go at it. They, I mean, they were prepared to step into battle. They weren't afraid to get in the trenches. You know, they didn't command from a bunker or from afar. You know, they were out there fighting with their men. And they endeared the most respect from their men when they saw that these leaders were not afraid to go into battle with them. And I mean, that just made their men want to fight that much harder for them. I think management is the same way. People that aren't afraid, like this example you just gave of Miguel, who's afraid, he's not afraid to get out there and do what some people would say he shouldn't be doing, Well, to him, his job is he wants to get the job done.
To get the job done, to get it done right and show people, we just pull together when the time gets
absolutely
tough.
Yeah.
Your positional power doesn't say what you can and can't do.
Right.
Pulling it together is the right thing to do. And that's why it was really nice to reconnect with Miguel. Yeah. In 15 years, he's grown into a remarkable leader. And I get very excited when I see good leaders because it's the number one ingredient to an organization. Yeah. So if you want fun, that's the character of leadership showing up and giving permission to other people to do it. But it's a lot more complex. I call it, you know, the last sort of metaphor I'll give you is the fun at work piece is bake the cake right.
Mm-hmm.
The cake being your products, your services,
sure.
How you price and finance and sell mm-hmm. and follow through. Bake a good cake. And the fun piece and the culture piece but is don't forget to ice the cake.
Mm.
Cake with icing is so much more appealing. But go even the further distance down. If I gave you a plate of only icing, for a minute you'd like it. But if you ate the entire plate of just icing and no cake and got that sugar rush, it wouldn't last very long.
Nope.
So just doing fun in the culture without a good product done safely and with quality, priced right and delivered well, that sustains the company – it doesn't last very long. So it's build a good cake, a great business. Don't forget to ice that cake. That's the culture and the fun. And you have people coming back for more all the time.
Absolutely. You make me think of when you talk about how it's part of the key ingredient. Nothing can stand alone. So it makes me think of, you know, one of my all-time favorite books is the Stephen Covey, Seven Habits.
Oh, yes.
So highly effective people. Yeah. And so it's all about, you know, it's almost like that needs to be in the mission. That needs to be a part of your identity as an organization, as a company. And if it's not part of your mission statement and part of who you define yourself as, it's probably not going to happen. So those things have to be part of you, part of your DNA as a company from the get-go, or it's not going to take place.
And if you try to insert it and you're doing it to get people to do something, they will know it's inauthentic. And when it's inauthentic, it's really uncomfortable.
Yep. Well, I wish we had more time because this is a fun discussion. I love this topic, Leslie, but I want people to, and I want to mention, we're going to post a link to the blog because that's a great one on the story that you just shared with Miguel, but I want people to find your website. How can people find out more about you, about your company and also about your books? I want people to learn how to find out more about Catalyst Consulting and then some of the books that you've authored. We mentioned some of them and we'll be posting a link as well, but I want you to mention it here.
Well, my website is pretty simple these days. It's my name, www.leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, Yerkes, Yerkes.com. You'll see the blogs, you'll see the books, and know that my books are all about great organizations with great leadership, good environments, and good working relationships. This year, I will have about 4 new books coming out, and they're about, believe it or not, what a rescue dog can teach you about being a better human being and a great business. I'm taking my inspiration from all over because I've really found out that being a good business owner, good leader, good manager is really about being an all-around good human. And I'm taking my newest lessons from everything around me. So there's going to be 3 books about a rescue story. And I had the great pleasure a couple of years ago to take care of my mother in her last year of life. Many of our business owners are taking care of their families at different times.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was probably the hardest and best work of my life. And so I will have a book about when family members become caregivers and that year of living and dying and what I learned and how it made me into a better person and a better leader. So that's my real message out here anymore is I think the lessons of life and what we're learning and how we're learning to be with each other. And I do believe we're moving into a new time in our lives because we're realizing how important life is, mm-hmm. is that life is the teacher.
Yes.
And we can do book learning and technical learning, but life is the teacher. And let's capitalize on all the wonderful experiences that every person in our workforce brings and use them to grow great organizations.
Leslie, it's been so fun. It's really been enjoyable talking with you on this topic. And I really have enjoyed the time here today.
Well, Jonathan, thank you. Come back anytime. And if any of your listeners have great stories to tell, if they go to my website, they'll find my email address. I have the opportunity to speak and I do write a lot. I love to tell a good story. So if anybody says, oh, Les, you got to come see us, I never turn a visit or an interview down. No. Because like you, I love to tell a great story because that's how we learn and grow.
Absolutely. So,
let your listeners know that, and I'll be happy to come back anytime.
Well, thank you so much. That is Leslie Yerkes, and again, she is the founder of Catalyst Consulting Group. We'll be posting the link to her website. Again, Leslie, it's been fun. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening, a wonderful rest of the week, and a weekend.
You too.